Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Here's where you get the Tasmanian racing edge. Now on Carnival, welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Here's Shane Yates.
Hello and welcome to Tas Racing Talk. Today on the show, Kevin Nielsen, Tas Racing's co-development manager for Harness Racing. Jamie Cockshutt, Tas Racing form analyst. He'll give us his thoughts on the Harness Racing meetings coming up at Burnie on Friday night, the first for the Burnie Harness Racing Club under lights. And of course, the big card night events in Launceston on Sunday. Greg Fay reviews the week of Greyhound racing. We're joined by master trainer Butch Deverell. Rick Puccinelli tips us the leading chances in the quaddie legs for Hobart, Launceston and Devonport Greyhound meetings. Plus, Tas Racing's journalist Peter Staples reviews last Sunday's meeting in Hobart and gives us his views on the eight-event galloping card at Devonport on Sunday. Just a reminder, every week on the show, we'll be asking a question from the next 60 minutes. It's called the Tas Racing Quiz Question. Simply enter your answer every week to win the ultimate punter's experience in Tassie. The prize includes airfares, accommodation, car hire, club dining at a thoroughbred harness and greyhound meeting during the week, along with expert tips from your trip host. Thanks to our accommodation partners, Rest Point and Country Club Tasmania. All you need to do is go to the tasracing.com.au site, click on the Tas Racing Talk icon, register. The person with the most correct answers to our questions over the next 3 months will win the ultimate punter's experience. So stand by for our quiz a little later in the show. Time for some harness racing now on Tas Racing Talk, and the co-development manager for harness racing for Tas Racing is Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
I'm very well, thank you, Shane.
Now, we've got a big night coming up in Burnie on Friday night, the first meeting under lights. There was a trial session last Friday. How did it go?
Yeah, all the talk of the Burnie Club over the last 3 years has come to fruition with this race meeting plan for Friday night. The trial was last Friday night, Shane. No problem at all with the lighting. It did look a bit interesting to me as I first arrived, but I think I might have arrived on dusk, and it didn't look that flash at dusk, but a lot of course are the same. But had a walk around the track, stood in the back straight, and I know the chairman stewards, Adrian Crowther, was really happy with the light that's on the track itself. A couple of minor issues with just the replacement of the stewards' tower, different positioning, and lighting in the stables had to be improved. But the Burnie Club has already completed both those tasks two or three days out from this. What is an historic night for the Burnie Harness Racing Club.
And good reports back from the drivers?
No, our drivers are very happy, yes. I think Adrian did speak to a number of the drivers about the light and any other concerns, and I'm sure that the response back from the majority was it's fine.
Now we've got a six-event card coming up on Friday night, the first at 6:25 and the last at 9:02. We'll have Jamie Cockshutt's selections along shortly on the show, but we've also had the completion of the Youngblood series, another wonderful event this year.
Yeah, it's a great series, Shane. 29th year of the series and the 14th time that Bullock Consulting have put their name to the series. And the top driver in Tasmania at the moment and one of the up-and-comers in Victoria tied for the award being Alex Ashwood and Dylan Ford on 46 points. And last year's winner, Matthew Howlett, who when he won it last year was the youngest winner ever, has backed up that performance with a third this year. And series was certainly well contested, and I'm sure we'll see a lot more of these drivers. And it's interesting to have a look at the winners of the past, and especially some of the family connections. Dylan Ford's father, Philip, won it twice in 95 and 97. And Philip's uncle, Scott, also won it back in 1987. So when you look down the list, the Ford name appears there three times, and that's more than any other family. Even the Rat Rays have got their name there only twice with Todd and James. Amazingly, Gareth never won that series.
Kicked on a tad since.
Well, he's done a little since then. Shane, he's, of course, heading for an astonishing ninth straight premiership in Tasmania at the moment, at the age of 28. And I had to get that in pretty quick because I don't think he's all that far off turning 29. Of course, he'll turn 29 the same day as his twin brother James does. And what a career there, forging in harness racing, those two.
And another Ford on the horizon with a debut victory during the week.
Yeah, Taylor Ford, great drive on that horse. She rated very well. There's nothing of Taylor, and I'm sure the family and Taylor won't mind me saying this, but she looks so young, she'd probably pass as a 12- or 13-year-old. But she's got a mature head on her shoulders, and she drives extremely well. She almost made it a double on Monday night, and she sits really well in the card, and that win was no surprise to anybody. It was a race for the horses with the lowest points, Dinverado, the horse she was successful on, drew the pole, and Taylor did the rest, and we can see plenty more of Taylor Ford into the future.
Now, there could have been a family tiff during the meeting because it was Dylan Ford that protested, wasn't it, against Taylor with that other victory?
I think he might have done too, but I'm sure they're all smiles in the Ford family afterwards with Taylor recording her first winner on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm sure that was the case. Now, the Botra Claiming Novice Driver Series gets underway early June.
Yeah, the second of our series, Shane, for the young drivers. This one also includes the drivers that have just started out in harness racing. And you remember last year that Craig Hayes and Troy Hillier, who are not exactly young, and I'll make sure I avoid the Craig on Friday night at Burnie after saying that, but they were only recently into harness racing, and this series does include those that have come in recently. And as such, we've got most of the young drivers that we had in the Bullock Consulting Young Bloods, being Nick Brockman, Duncan Dornoff, Samantha Freeman, Leanne Graham, Braden and Matthew Howlett, and Brady Woods. The ones we won't see are Alex Ashwood and Dylan Ford, because they have outdriven their concession claim, and also Justin Howlett, who didn't get in this year because Adrian Collins, Christy Grant and Tim Yole, the three additions, have all driven more winners than Justin this season. So those 10 drivers, with the support of Botra Tasmania, will contest that series, which starts in early June, the 1st of June in Hobart, followed by heats at Devonport and the final lot of heats at Launceston on Sunday, the 8th of June. And yeah, it's all part of the development of new persons into the industry and our young drivers in Tasmanian harness racing.
Well, last week we caught up with Rowan Hillier, the successful driver of Birinya with the Tasmanian Oaks and also the marvellous victory in the Victorian Oaks. And Rowan was mentioning at the time that Birinya might be heading to New Zealand, but that's not the case.
Well, the decision was only made today at lunchtime, Shane. Speaking to one of the part owners, Lloyd Wish Wilson, of course, owned by Lloyd and his wife, Judy. And they've made the decision not to go, and it's been with great reluctance. But it's simply the racing schedule. The Harness Duels now is only a fortnight away on Saturday the 31st of May in New Zealand. And it's only a week later that the Vic Bred Super Sire series start in Victoria. Although there are heats on three Thursdays, being the 5th, the 12th and 19th of June, leading into the semis on the 27th of June and the $110,000 finals on Saturday, July the 5th. But a lot of travel involved for this filly, who's only ever been interstate once and didn't handle the trip that well the first time, and this time they would have been looking at transporting the filly from Tasmania to Melbourne, then off to New Zealand. And I know they agonised over the decision for a long while. Yes, no, will we or won't we? And in the end they decided it was in the best interest of this filly not to go to New Zealand, but keep the previous aim of the Vic Bred Super Sire, also of course the Breeders' Crown, and that starts in mid-July, basically a week or 2 weeks after the Vic Bred Super Sire finishes, and there's a heat in Tasmania for the Breeders' Crown on Monday the 14th of July. And just checking the record books there, Shane, last year the three-year-old Colts and Geldings heat was contested by Chili Palmer and Patrick Cutie. They were the only two that went round. Well, Patrick Cutie went on to run second in the final, and of course Chili Palmer is creating his own name at the moment in Australasian harness racing.
So possibly a pretty smart move, even though the temptation would have been great to head to New Zealand. But as you say, plenty of prize money on offer on the mainland, and I'm sure Birinya is certainly going to fly the flag for Tasmania in the coming months.
And I know they just love the fact they had the choice. And while it was a hard decision to make, I think they've done the right thing by this filly, and they're just doing everything they can to give her the best opportunity to continue to compete in these top-quality races at her peak.
All right, Kev, thanks for your time again today. Good luck with the historic meeting coming up at Burnie on Friday.
I'll see you Friday, Shane.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Sweepstakes nights in Hobart last Monday night. To tell us all about the meeting is the form analyst for Harness Racing Tasmania and Taz Racing in Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, not too bad at all, Shane.
Exciting night last Monday?
Yeah, there were some nice two-year-olds going around. Couple of first starters impressed, and be two competitive finals come next Sunday night.
What about a couple of runners out of those fields for us to follow?
Yeah, well, the first filly seat, a horse called Fawaza, was very impressive, sat in the breeze all the way, and Todd was very kind to it up the straight and won easily. The stablemate House Haunter was also very good running home strongly in defeat, and a win not far away for House Haunter. In the second of the filly seat, Joker's Wildcard was first up and was very impressive sitting in the breeze in a thrilling finish by a short half head from Kyleisha, who was the favourite and, you know, hit the line strongly after, you know, probably losing 4 or 6 metres coming around the corner. But can't take nothing away from Joker's Wildcard in that heat. And My Guy and first starter Grace Campbell batted away strongly as well, beat narrowly. In the Colts and Geldings first seat, Jerry Shett, he's a superstar of Tasmania, 2-year-old Colts and Geldings. He just led and won as he liked, but there's a very impressive run in the race, first having his first start, called Boasen Hagen on the Christian Solar Yard. Made a lot of ground, saved a lot of ground on the inside and finished strongly to run third, with Carrera Jasmine running second. But yeah, I can see Boasen Hagen winning a race when Jerry Shett goes out for a spell. The second heat was dominated by the Retro Camp again. Instant Doloratus led all the way for a very impressive win. And Master Chili came from a long way back, hit the long strongly for running second. In going forward, the two finals next week, Barry Drills will determine the fillies division, but Jerry Shett, no matter where he draws, he looks more or less over the line.
How do you rate him against the likes of Resurgent Spirit that we've seen in recent times?
Yeah, Resurgent Spirit, as we know, he's a superstar 2-year-old and done a remarkable job, but Jerry's just got that wow factor about him. Resurgent Spirit was tradesman-like, but Jerry Shett, yeah, he's a very, very smart type,
so you can see him flying the flag for Tassie on the mainland?
If they decide to take him there, mate, he'll be very, very competitive. Very competitive. Ricky Duggan's got a huge opinion of him. As we know, Ricky's got a lot of nice young ones over the years, and yeah, he rates him as one of the best he's ever driven.
Okay, well, that's certainly something to look forward to in the coming season. Six-event card coming up at the Wivenhoe Showgrounds in Burnie on Friday night. Under lights, let's find some winners now. Jamie, race number one is for the 3-year-old and older non-winners.
Yeah, it's a very tough race to start the night. It's racing at Burnie, Shane. Numerous chances. Just lean towards Odin's Callgirl. Battled away well on Monday night at Hobart. And this is a lot easier. So it should be able to find the breeze and dictate from the breeze and not be able to find the line. But Chrissy Major Main is set to improve remarkably from Barrier 2. If you can cross the pole marker Artistic Place, she will take plenty of running down. And Artistic Place can run a race from the pole. As you know, it's a huge advantage. You're on one at Burnie at big odds. Billy Kahn, Hey Mickey, You Don't Give Me Our Other Chances in the race. So we'll go in that race 4, 2, and 1.
Second race on the card over the 2180 for the 3-year-olds, a Tasbreed bonus. Chirac's been racing in great form, coming off the 10-metre handicap.
Yeah, Chirac's a very nice horse. Very nice horse indeed. Just concerned about him stepping safely, because he has got a few little issues, but the Castle boys are finally getting him to do everything right, and if he's at his best, he will nearly win. But I'm just looking towards little Jeffo from the pole. He might be able to step safely. And if he steps to the lead, Chirac's going to have to do everything possible to beat him, which I'm not 100% sure that he can. Padamba's going to give a good run through as long as he steps safely on the back of little Jeffro, which will give him a great chance at each way odds. Family Orphan has had one start in his career at Burnie where he ran second. So you've got to put him in there in the exotics. But in that race, I'm leaning towards one little Jeffro from Chirac and Padamba.
Okay, so that's the second race on the card. In the third, Helen Wheels is another one with consistent form, but drawn outside the second line.
Yeah, it's going to make it pretty hard for her outside the second line. And the little straight at Burnie, you know, it's about 80 metres. So she's going to keep going early in. She struggles sometimes to do a lot of work in the races. So I'm just leaning towards a little bit towards Takeaway Koala. He's drawn outside the front line, but he shows a bit of gait speed. And if he can work across to the breeze, he might be able to dictate from the breeze. But Helen Wheels is a huge danger, like you said. Bumbledon's going to be very hard to beat inside the second leg. Just needs a little bit of luck. And Inner City and Adam Bomber, next best from barriers 1 and 2. So in the third, I'm happy to go with 5, Takeaway Koala from 9, Helen Wheels, and 6, Bumbledon.
Fourth race on the card, over the 2180. We've got 4 off the front and 4 off the 10-metre handicap.
Yeah, another very tough race, you know. But just thinking, Top Notch Sampson is a good winner at St Mary's on St Mary's Cup Day, so from the stand, so he might be able to ping across. If he can get across Buck Major, he will take no end of beating. But if Buck Major can happen to hold up, he'll be very hard to beat as well. So Star's going to be very important here in this race. Paddy's Ace can fly the taste from seven, so the 10 metres ain't much of a concern. And if he can lob handy, he'd have an each-way chance at odds. Joe Cable was much improved last week at Devonport, so expect him to run a race from the front as long as he steps safely. And Fill Your Pockets and El Hickey are next best. So in the fourth, go top-notch Samson number two from one Buck Major and seven Paddy's Ace.
Now, in race number five, the Woodses have got a great record down at Burnie. They've got Touchwood Topstar going around here from gate two.
Yeah, he's got a good chance too, Touchwood Topstar. But I'm just thinking next sound, he really pings the tapes really quickly and he might be able to spear across. If he spears across, he's only a plotter, but he might be able to get away with it around Burnie. But Touchwood Topstar is the main danger, huge danger. In fact, he might be able to hold him out. If he does, well, he's the one to beat. But I'll just go next sound's way. I'm Mr. Ed. Was very good last week, and the stand is a bit of a query. He missed away at Launceston on Easter Cup night, so we have a safe beginning tonight. If he's up on the pace, he'll be there in the finish. And Mezio Sue and Cheese Exquisite, a next best with a safe beginning. So in the fifth, I'm happy to go next sound each way from two Touchwood Topstar and five on Mr. Ed.
Well, you're tipping a big night for Rowan Hillier, but possibly coming up on Friday night. Rowan's got a drive in the last two with Muscle Row Bay in race six.
Yeah, that's a chance as well, Shane. Cruel Town got up at big odds at Hobart on Monday night at $50-odd, and you won't get $50 on Friday night about him. He pinned to the lead and dictated the race and won well. Tricky little race this, really is, but I'm on the juice. Forget his last run and go on his previous five runs. He's been running first and second. He likes the track. His home track. He might be able to sit on the back or even get across Cooroola Town. And if he does, he might prove too strong for Cooroola Town. But Musselboro Bay is the other one. With a safe beginning, he loves just sitting off the pace and finishing strongly. He'll be hard to hold out. And Harley Fella, Sterlish and Cats and Dogs are all chances despite their 10, 20 and 40 metre back marks. Very tricky race, the last one. I'm happy to go with two on the juice to beat three Muscle Row Bar and one Cooroola Town.
What about a best for Burnie on Friday?
Oh, that's a hard task, Shane. Next sound each way in race five.
Okay, next sound, a little bit of value for us there. Then we head to Launceston on Sunday night. It looks an open affair.
Oh, this is a very tricky race. I've got no idea, really. You could throw a dart at the board and whichever one you come up with, you've got a chance. But if Hilda Sue could produce anywhere near her best, she should be too good for him. But just barrier five, whether they go back or forward, I just don't know. But if she has any luck whatsoever, she should be able to win the race. Hey Hardy has been okay in his two runs since coming to Tasmania. He might have enough speed to get across and lead. If he happens to find the lead, he'd give a bit of cheek out in front. Break a nice one at good odds. When he puts it all together, he can put in a good run or two. And from barrier eight, being the lane runner for back row, he's not going to have horses or anything, so he should get a good run through and stay out of trouble. And if he's close enough, he should be able to nearly round them up at good each way odds. I, Mr. Ed, the query runner, he's running a Burnie on Friday, and he hasn't backed up in the past, but if he happened to back up, he'd have to be a chance in this, but there's just a query about him backing up from Friday night at Burnie. And Tango, terrific of me, mate, with the next best. So in the fifth, I'm happy to go five Hilda Sue from four Hay Hardy and eight Break a Night at odds.
Race number six, the C3 to C4. Well, the race could be decided in the first 100 metres.
I think it will be. Better Move has been pretty good in his two runs. He galloped last time when, I'm not saying he would have won, but he was 5 metres clear and galloped 150 off the line. He's on the pole tonight, so if he can show enough gate speed to hold out Star Chamber, he's very quick off the gate, but they generally like to take a sit with Star Chamber, so it's going to be interesting early what they do. Now She's a Terror is just going to drop straight behind Better Move, which is going to give her the gun run, and all she'll need is a bit of luck in the finish. Deliver the Goods is racing very consistently, but she just needed a bit of luck from out in seven, so at the end of the day, Better Move should be able to hold up and should be able to get away from Star Chamber and Now She's a Terror. So I'm happy to go one Better Move, six Star Chamber and two Now She's a Terror.
Now, race seven on the card is the claimer for the night. What can you tell us about final champion number three?
If Final Champion produced his best in Queensland form, he'd win this by 100 metres. But his last few runs up in there have just been pretty average. And his first up for the Nathan Ford camp tonight. So he's a big query. If there's money for him, well, I'll jump on. But I'm just not 100% sure where he's at the moment. The other query runner is Wiener. He returns to Tasmania, and as we all know, he was a star free for all of going back 18 months to 2 years, winning the Hobart Pacing Cup, being competitive in Easter Cups, and all of our feature races. He returns back to Rowan, have his first run in Tassie, and off 10 metres, he's well placed, because he does begin well from the tapes. Baby Achu was very impressive winning at Devonport 3 runs ago, and his last 2 runs he's been in tougher class. And if he just happened to ping away and find the breeze, he will run a race at, you know, good each way odds. Frank Cullen was a lot better last week at Launceston. He can be hit or miss at the start, and if he happened to ping away and get a soft run, he could run a race at double figure odds. But in the seventh, I'm happy to go with Leona with a big question mark on Bonner Champion number 3 and Baby Cheese, a 7, 3 and 5 in the seventh.
Race number 8, only a small field of 7 to go around here, Jamie, but a host of chances.
Yeah, most runners have a chance in this race, Shane. But Tessin Zoe has been a revelation since being taken over by Melissa Main and Gareth. You know, she's been very impressive. The draw is very tricky for her. You know, 7, she's got a bit of speed, but I think they'll go back and try and get a card in the race. If she can get the right card in the race, she'll take plenty of holding out at the finish. Stone Skipper is the leader, and if she's happened to get away with a soft first half, she's very capable of sprinting home a quick last 800, and that'll give her a great chance. Diva's Delight, super consistent. Going to probably have to sit parked for 1-1, depends if something goes forward early. So it has to be an okay chance. The query runner, Hugh Doit. He's a bit of an enigma. If he puts it all together and stays in his gear and does everything right, he can sprint very quickly off a good card into the race. So he's the query for me, you do it. And 3, remember Joe, 4 I pretty the fallen, 5 talk about Dexter, can all win without surprising. It's one of those tricky races. But I'm happy to go Tessin Zoe on top, number 7, because he's racing to very best form for 1 Scone Skipper and 6 you do it.
Race number 9 on the card, we've got All About Mod coming off a placing in the Granny Smith final. That looks pretty solid form for this.
It does look pretty solid form for this, but I'm actually giving something else to beat All About Mod. Olivia de Gerolstein, she's been pretty good at the last couple of runs. She chased home Chopstick Boris on Sunday night. She had the right run, and you know, she got beat 3 or 4 metres, but Chopstick Boris was in this, he'd be winning. So, but All About Mod, you know, she ran second to Nola Mayhem in the Granny Smith, but she had got the dream run. She sat on the lead and she just followed the pegs, and, you know, that's what got her into second place. But she has a bit of gate speed, so it'd be interesting to see if they tried to run the gate with her. And if she happened to get across and find the lead, I think she, you know, she'd just about get away with the race, but I'm just not 100% sure what they're going to do with her. Ange Christie's racing well. You know, she's got an each-way claim as Boutique Art. And even Monsoir, she's probably going to get the right run 1-1. And she'd have a good hope at each, you know, double figure odds. You know, she could mow them down as well on the straight. Even Paris Express can run a place from the 6 at big odds. Wouldn't surprise me if any of the runners won the race, Shane. But I'm happy to go with Olivia de Gerolstein on top, number 2, from 5 All About Mod and 3 Monsoir.
What about a best bet and one at a little bit of value for us?
I think you know the best bet, Shane. Hustle Halo just stays in his gear. I think he'll win. Breaker Knight is one of good each way odds. He should get $8 or $10, hopefully, and all his, if he stays in his gear, he'll take plenty of beating. I've also got a quality picked out for Launceston as well for the listeners. The first week would go 3, 4, 5, 7 and 8. Second week 1 and 6. Third week 3, 5 and 7. The last week 1, 2, 6 and 7. A $30 flexi would give you 25% of the dividend.
Sounds a plan. 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 in the first league, 1 and 6 in the second league, 3, 5, 7 in the third, and 1, 2, 6 and 7. Thanks for that expert information again today, Jamie, and we'll join you again next week.
Much appreciated, mate.
And if you'd like to check out Jamie's in-depth form analysis, just go to www.tazracing.com and flick through to the Harness Racing Tips, and it will be there for you. So Jamie's tips every week on the Taz Racing website.
Taz Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, on digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone, and later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tazracing.com.au.
Taz Racing Talk now, thoroughbred action, and to bring us up to date with that magical meeting in Hobart last week is journalist for Taz Racing, Peter Staples. How are you, Pete?
I'm good, Shane. Yeah, it was a good meeting on Sunday, Butte.
a couple of outstanding performances. The flying two-year-old Admiral from the Barry Campbell stable.
He was just too good for them, and it was an expected result. He was short. And, yeah, it's he's clearly the best two-year-old in the state, and he'll be voted that, I'm sure, as two-year-old of the year. Whether he goes to the... look, I don't think he'll go to the size produce. He's going to get 60.5. It's a fair weight to carry, and the way Barry was talking before he left the track, I think he pretty much had it in his mind that he'll be probably heading to the paddock. But Calavera, the horse that really faced the breeze and fought back and ran second in that race, I think he'll go to the sires and he'll love it. I think he's bred to get a fair bit of ground, Calavera. And of course, photographer Billy Hayes, he'd be pretty chuffed. Him and Charlie Langmaid and got themselves another handy two-year-old.
Nice spot for Barry to be in, to be able to give Admiral a break in the paddock, knowing that you've got the second stringer right there to take the prize.
Well, look, you know, he's won 11 two-year-old races, which is, and that was 50% going into last Sunday of the two-year-old races that have been run. So he's been dominant would be an understatement. He is the king of the two-year-olds, and not just two-year-olds. Barry Campbell's been a great trainer for a long time, and he'll continue to be so. And I'm glad he got over that little scare, that health scare that he had, where he got a clot in a stent that was put in his leg. And mind, he gave up smokes when he had that procedure, and he hasn't had one since. But I think he spent about $1,000 on Nicorettes.
Well, a good investment, obviously. Now, what about Izzy Baeva's run?
Super, absolutely super. Like, we all knew that, you know, she'd be better over the 1,200, and but she actually dominated. And I don't think Aaron Zano had a bad day. I just think Izzy Baeva was too good for her. The way that Chantel Willis handled that mare was fantastic. She's riding beyond her experience, Chantel Willis, although you've got to remember where she is. She's with Leon Wells, the master of apprentices. And, yeah, it was terrific to see her get a win aboard that good mare. And, look, I think, you know, she'll continue on now to the next feature mare's race in Launceston on Sunday week, and I'm pretty much sure she'll probably have that as well. Ian Hayes got her racing in tip-top form, and I think that she'll continue on. And Aranzano, she'll go there as well and try and turn the tables.
Now, we've left the best till last, the run of GG's Black Flash.
Well, the Flash, isn't he a star? Like, he's got such an incredible reputation nationally, and even though he's never left the state, and he'll earn $1 million probably this year if he stays sound and everything's right. The way he won that race, he had 68 4-kilo claim for Hayley McCarthy, and there were some who thought, well, you know, 64 is 10 kilos, he's giving everything else. And the way MIB yet had been racing, you would have thought that, you know, he would really give it a shake. And at one stage, he was favourite. Well, he did start favourite. When she moved him up from the 500 to really attack, the Flash just let go, and he was awesome, absolutely awesome. And I don't know how they're going to beat him in the St. Ledger. It's a quality handicap, so he drops 4 kilos to 60, and everything else gets in at 54, the 6 kilos. If he takes that form into the St. Ledger Sunday week, over the 2,400 metres, I don't see him beating him.
Now, he was beaten in the same race last year at odds of $1.20.
Yeah, by Richo Man, and Mark Gannadon was absolutely thrilled that day. I remember standing next to him, and he was kept shaking his head, saying, "Well, I know, can we watch the replay? I don't think I won," because it was Black Flash that he beat. And but look, it was a horse. It's a horse race, Shane, as you know. Things can go wrong in a race that can stop the greatest horses from winning. And but all things being equal, this time around, and what's available at the moment. You know, Thornman goes around on Sunday at Devonport, and if Michael Trinder decides to take him to the St. Ledger with just a 1350 metre run under his belt, I don't know, he might be the testing material, but he might not even go there. So I don't know what will go in the race, but there isn't a heck of a lot around at the class of GG's Black Flash.
And trainer John Luttrell believes it's going better this year than last year.
Yeah, John, I don't know whether that's right. He went better he went terrific on Sunday. I don't know whether he was going better than he is last year, but, he's a trainer, so I suppose I don't train, I just write about him, so I guess he'd know. But from my observation, I don't know whether he's going better, but he certainly went great last Sunday.
Well, we've got a big program coming up on Sunday at Devonport on the Tapeta synthetic surface. 8 races on the card. The first is the maiden Class 1 plate.
Yeah, probably the best 4 chances in it. From in race book number 2, Decent Deal, 3, Diocese, 5, Our Clangling, and 6, Aladoni. Probably Aladoni from the Troy Blacker stable. Just because he's been knocking on the door and it was a nice run last start and probably not far away. They're a pretty even bunch. But I think 2, 3, 5, and 6 in whatever order, one of those should win.
And I see the speed maps on Stridemaster on the Taz Racing website has Diocese the leader in the early stages of the race. These speed maps are supplied by Stridemaster. They're certainly a great innovation, aren't they?
Yeah, and available on tazracing.com.au. 7 days a week, 24/7. So it's pretty good having the Stridemaster thing there because, and looking at those speed charts, to help you analyse the form, like, what I do is I get the race replays, I open them up, and I open up the Stridemaster file next to it, and I look at the results of the of what horses, where those sectionals were run, and what good sectionals they ran, and I can actually see what times they are running while I'm watching the replay. If you do it a few times, actually you get into the knack of it, and it's a really good tool.
Yeah, and as you say, available 7 days a week on tazracing.com.au. So the second race on the program, it's another toughie with the maiden runners over the 1350.
A little bit Dutch, newcomer to the Leon Wells stable. Only had the 2 starts for him. The first up got caught up in a bit of traffic. I watched the replay a couple of times and he didn't get it. He got a checkered run. Then improved next time out, ran fourth just behind the place getters. Probably gets his chance and Chantel Willis jumps on. Takes 2 kilos off, and I think that she's worth 4 kilos at the moment, the way she's riding. 56.5, I think a little bit Dutch probably gets its chance. Gary White's Chips got home well first up, an eye catcher last time. Letters for the Adam Trinder stable, toughed it out and ran fourth at his first start for the new trainer. Our mate Ling got home well for 8 and none last time. And Long Lashes, another one of Gary White's. He's got 2 in it. Long Lashes finally drawn a decent gate, barrier 6. 1.5 kilos off for Muku. Puts it on 55, 1 above the minimum. He might be the each-way bet in the race, but probably unexposed form, a little bit Dutch. Third up, number 1 might get my nod. 3, 5, 6, and 8, the chances as well.
Third race on the card is the maiden plate for the sprinters over 1,000 metres. Kuta Fides, well, very consistent. 13 starts, 8 placings. Can he finally break through?
Well, Kuta Fides was a good footballer. I know that. With Carlton, but I don't know about this Kuta Fides. He's certainly got to be a chance. Last season, I thought if he ran any more seconds, he'd be a minute. And I just think, with Millie Whitehouse Summers aboard, takes 3 kilos off, barrier 4, probably gets his chance. But I think there's one down the bottom of Barry Campbell's Fortuitous. It led last start, and it was run down by its stablemate Moneypenny that sat outside it. And Moneypenny really had to work over the last little bit to get clear enough of Fortuitous. So I think Fortuitous is certainly a chance in this. And I would say that she'd be my each-way bet of the day, Fortuitous, in race 3, number 12. I think she's got a real good chance of getting this. You've got to put Kuta Fides in along with Sapphire Storm. Got plenty of speed. Be McCool on top. Little May. And there's a first starter in the race as well from the Johnny Blacker stable called He's Apples. Apples spelled A-P-P-L-Z. Had a trial at Longford, ran third behind Triple B and Military Pass. Trial was okay, and it's pretty well bred by Hassan and out of it, Itagay's mare. I think had a little watch on the betting with number one. But I think number 12 should win this in a good each-way bet.
Okay, so strong feeling about number 12 there in the third race. Number 4, the Class 1 handicap over the 1350. Angela Brakey with 2 in-form runners. Getaway Gold breaking through for its maiden win last time out. And Huss Style, number 4 and number 6.
Yeah, look, I think Huss Style is probably the better of the two of them. And it goes to the 1350 up from the 1220 last time in Launceston. A trial at Devonport. Before it embarked on its campaign this time in, and ran second behind Al Belich, but it came out and did very little at its subsequent outings. look, in this race, I like Great Delight, one of David and Scott Brunton's. It presented it for the first time in Tassie in Hobart. Absolutely gave Tyre Kicking an absolute shellacking. And Tyre Kicking's come out and won last Sunday, won its maiden. And I think Great Delight, I think there are a few more wins in Great Delight. Whether they're all this preparation or not, I don't know. But I think there are certainly more wins in store, and I think this one could be on Sunday for number five, Great Delight. I thought the chances were Must Be Love from the Troy Blacker stable, seven, and both of Angela Brakey's four, Getaway Gold and the Six Hut Style. But I like five.
Race five on the card is the benchmark 62 handicap over 1,000 litres and looks to be a number of chances here, even though there's only nine in the race.
Well, I think a lot of these are just win in turn. Probably the top five chances would win in turn in this race. And over the 1,000 metres, even Crystal Reef, you've got to give a chance to on its home track over the 1,000. But on exposed form, probably a Spry and From the Bronx. From the Bronx is a nice horse. Aidan Nunn will deliver this in tip-top order for a first-up tilt. And I've drawn a nice gate, barrier 3 and 3 kilos off for Rhonda Mangan. Puts it on 57, so it makes it a chance. The Spry got a 3-kilo claim for Tyson Buck. So they've got the 3-kilo claimers going around there. Moonrise down the bottom, 3-kilo claim for Cody Grace, 53.5, a half below the minimum. You've got to have a lot of respect for Moonrise, especially on its win in Hobart. But I think this is a much tougher ask. An open race, probably 2 and 3 on top and placed from 4, 5 and 6.
Race 6 on the card is the Class 2 Handicap, 1150, the Journey. Final RG, sent out favourite last time, was just beaten by Hammer Time. Can it bounce back here?
Yeah, geez, it was a tough win last time, wasn't it, Shane? It was, really knuckled down to its task. And, yeah, you'd probably think that you'd want to follow up. Just got beaten the last stride by, a decent horse. So wasn't if, got beat by a mug horse. And I think Final RG certainly going to have, plenty of support again. Lazy Democracy, the Barry Campbell stable, trained on the track. I thought Lazy Democracy drawn nicely. And a 2-kilo claim for stable apprentice Ismail Toker. Probably gets its chance to win again. Classic Outlaw at the top, he's got to be a chance, along with Finesto first up from a spell. I spoke to Nigel Shearing early in the week, and he's confident Finesto will run a bit of a race from a nice gate, and a 3-kilo claim for Smiley Whitehouse Summers will certainly give Finesto a chance. Probably even Super Broadband could be considered first up with Kim Moore aboard. And, tough race, probably 2 and 6, 1, 3, 4 and a couple of others. It's a very open race.
Race number 7 on the card is the benchmark 78 handicap over the 1350. Thorn Man has won 5 straight, going for 6 in a row, and of course has that opportunity to step right up to the grade in the St. Ledger next week if Michael Trinder decides to go that way. Taking on Bundelina, who's also won its last 3, and Sundisk, very impressive campaign last time in.
They were impressive, Sundisk, and certainly Thorn Man, but I think it's a bit too short for Thorn Man. 1350. I think they're going to be getting warmed up around about the 1100 metre mark. And look, I thought Royal Rapture, he's a good horse, he is, and they've got a 3-kilo claim for stable apprentice Cody Grace, barrier 4. I'll just have him just on the pace, and he'll carry 56 kilos. And I think he's a nice horse, Royal Rapture. I think he can win. And I thought the main danger, certainly Bundelita, goes to the 1350. And he's in terrific form. This is the best form he's shown of any preparation. Won his last 3, going for 4 in a row. I think they'll probably fight it out, Royal Rapture and Bundelita. And number 10, Revenging, I thought it would be a chance along with, Make Sense and Thorn Man. But 2 and 7, I think they'll fight it out from 10, 1, 3, and maybe even different number 9 can improve from barrier 1.
Benchmark 68 handicap is race 8 on the card over the 1650. Hot to Trot, well, it'll be pretty happy that Thorn Man's not engaged here because its last 3 runs, 3rd to Thorn Man, 4th to Thorn Man, and 3rd to the Dead Heat is Thorn Man, and Am I There Yet? It was only beaten a half length. It was a good effort last time out.
It was a good effort, but it's hard to catch Hot to Trot. Certainly a chance in the race, but I thought Will of the Wisp, with a 3-kilo claim for Emily Whitehouse Summers, 55 kilos, I thought would be one of the hardest to beat. Hot to Trot, certainly, you've got to consider Hot to Trot, certainly on the form that it's exposed. 59 kilos, 57 to carry with Toker claiming. I thought our mare Settler's Joy, she was a good run last start, her first try on the synthetic over the 1350. She got to the line okay, finished fifth. She was still last, 250 from home. And she was, she'll appreciate going to the 1650. And we're just sort of hoping that she's drawn barrier 10, but it won't matter. She'll sort of slide back a little bit. Georgie takes two off, so we thought Sheba might be a chance. And Mr. McCartney, number 12, geez, he's been unlucky. His last couple, he's just been run down. He'll probably do all the bullocking work again in front. It's the only way he likes to do it. GG's Opera's got to be a chance again, number 9. Good race the last. I thought 4, maybe from 2, 5, 9 and 12.
So Fortuitous, your best, Pete?
I like Fortuitous each way. That's the way I'll be going. I'll be having race 3, number 12, Fortuitous. I'll be having a fair bit each way on her.
And what about a quaddie for us? Can you find one for us on Sunday?
Well, I can find one, but it's how much you want to spend.
Not much. Haven't got much, but.
Well, look, the first leg. I do think in race 5, it's a very open race. I think you've got to go wide in the first leg. And the second leg's pretty much the same. Look, it's. Let's call 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the first. In the second, we'll have 2, 3, 4, and 6 in the second leg. What's that? 5 by 4 is 20.
I've run out of money. I'm running up to the third leg.
And then, all right, well, here we go. I'll go 2 and 7 in the third leg.
2 and 7, that helps.
And we'll go 4 and 5 in the last leg.
For all the latest news, just check out Peter's stories on tasracing.com.au. Thanks for your time again today, Pete.
Pleasure, Shane.
Greyhound racing time now on Taz Racing Talk, and joining us as he does each and every week is Greyhound guru Greg Fay. How are you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks.
Well, it's been another big week, highlighted by the Country Oaks and the Country Derby finals at Devonport, and both races roughhouse affairs.
Yes, unfortunately, and quite often when you get so many good dogs in one place at the one time, they're all trying to get to the first turn with the same amount of ability, and unfortunately both races there was an attrition rate. But nevertheless, you know, they were both won by pretty good dogs. Windburn Rush is becoming a bit of a big race specialist for Ben England and the rest of the litter with Scott Bryan. They're outstanding litter, very powerful bitch. She chased the early leader hard as nails. She got on her heels. Classic Nico got around and got past both of them, but once the gap came in the home straight, Windburn Rush got through and was a brilliant winner. And let's hope Kawasaki Rose is okay for Deb Cannon, because she failed to finish and she was the favourite.
Now, she only sneaked into the final, Greg, by running fourth to Hard as Nails, doing its best work at the finish by the same token, beaten 3 1/4 lengths last week. And basically the same in the Breeders as well. In Launceston, was able to perform, of course, brilliantly in the final from box number one. But as you say, she's becoming a big race specialist when the money's up.
The downside of the litter are that they've got massive motors and they're powerful to the line, but they're not very clever in negotiating the traffic. And if they don't lead, they tend to find a lot of trouble in their races. And that's why you look at the form card of a few of the Windburn dogs. They're either winning or not running anywhere. But I think as they get older, they're going to be better and better. And I think a couple of them are going to make good middle distance dogs.
Then we got to the Derby, and it was Groovy Lane for Paul Donaldson. Went into the race with 6 wins from 9 starts, won 4 or 5 on the trot, and then the bubble burst in one of its races going back a month or so ago, but it's really bounced back now.
Yeah, it was a good effort, and he was one that, actually, that was a much rougher race than what the Oaks was. Gemstone Jack and Great Taylors for Anthony Bullock, one led initially and the other one rent for the lead, and they end up dead-heating for second, only a half a length behind Groovy Lane. Groovy Lane moved up quickly out wide, and then there was a terrible mix-up behind in which Slashers King virtually fell. Varco was knocked out of the race. Barnes Bay was knocked right back, and he was a good effort to run fourth. But, yeah, Groovy Lane, in a real hard go to the line, he just prevailed over Great Taylors, which led the last half of the race and fought on bravely. And Gemstone Jack, who is a dog with a massive motor and a very small brain, if he was a really good chaser, Gemstone Jack, he'd be one of the best dogs in the state. But he's a bit of a game player, and he was hitting the line very hard. But Groovy Lane, top dog.
A couple of the big guns out of play early, Slashers King and Varco, two in particular.
Yeah, well, Slashers King nearly fell. He hit the running rail, and Varco was always in traffic and never in the race. But they'll kick back.
Now, in the following race, race number 8 on the card, Hell Yeah Evan for Anthony Bullock and the Hell Yeah team, coming off victory in Hobart on the Thursday, made it 2 for the week.
Absolutely. Look, in the last couple of weeks, Anthony Bullock's team's just been, in another zone. They've been going so well. You know, Hell Yeah Evan wouldn't be in his top 10 dogs, but he's a dog who's just kept improving. He's a good chasing dog. He's now putting a few together and... he was too good for the favourite Winsome Tommy. He had his chance to run him down, but he couldn't.
And Pat and Ted Howard had a great 24 hours. They were able to win in Launceston on Monday night with Winkley Charlie, scoring at big odds, and then Winkley Bent and Winkley Tam came out and scored impressively.
Yeah, well, actually, Winkley Charlie started off big odds, but he was well found in the betting in the finish. But he had a terrific two-dog war with Pedro's Vineyard for the last 350 yards of that race. I should say metres these days, shouldn't I? And it was only a head between him the whole time. He prevailed. He loves Launceston. He can run a bit of time there. And then, they followed up with Winkley Bent, which is also a Launceston specialist. He won a top grade last start at Launceston, but he's still a grade 5 at Devonport. But he's now grade 4 because he won well on Tuesday. And the bitch, she is the best one in the litter by a mile, Winkley Tam, but she's obviously had a lot of problems, because she's only started racing after several months off last week, and this week she got back to her very best straight away. So, as you said, the husband and wife Howard team are going to have a lot of fun with this litter in the next few weeks, I think.
And speaking of husband and wife teams, buckle up, Fletch, for Robin and Gary Johnson in the first race in Launceston, another impressive performer there, first up on the track.
Yes, well, buckle up, Fletch, and buckle up, Harold, which has also just started winning, as we know, around Everlong Bale, which is the mother of Buckle Up Mason, and more particularly Buckle Up Wes. So the next litter coming through look like they've got a lot of the ability of the previous litter, and Buckle Up Fletch, he's still a baby, like he's only just turned 18 months. He looks to have a very big future.
And father and son duo of Bobby and Robin Grubb, they had that wonderful success with Sing the Song breaking the track record at Devonport last week. Well, they came out with Stylish Abby, the littermate, and won the invitation.
Yes, Stylish Abby, she's a little bit hot and cold, but very good bitch on a night. She soon found the lead in a race where there looked to be a few leaders, and she was one of her career best performances. She has broken 30 at Launceston before, but 29.84, they never really got close to her either. She was brilliant.
And we've got the final of the Vets Medley Series coming up in Hobart on Thursday. Had the heats over the 4.61 last week after the initial round of heats over the 5.99. And Hold On Coop for Eileen Thomas showed that it's a real sprinting specialist with that victory.
Yeah, look, he upset the favourite Miss Somebody. But if you went on career form, he had the best form overall. Look, he's a sneaky chance in the final now that he's come up with box one as well, because... I think most people think he's a sprinter only, but he's had a win and a second from only 3 runs over the middle distance, so he's in the mix.
And your old mate Mumford's Son went back-to-back from the 5.99 back to the 4.61, drew box number one, and it was all over.
No, for sure. Look, you could put him over any trip, any distance. He just gives you everything. He's a wonderful dog. He held off a very, very impressive Alvin Benz, which I think both of them have got a chance in the final. Mumford's Son, he's just so honest, but he's come up with 6 in the final, which is a problem. Alvin Benz has the pink, gives him a chance.
And Top Line Power scored its second win, this Cosmic Chief Cora Shiraz sprinter from Box 7.
Yes, look, I think the dog's a head case myself, but he's had 2 wins and 7 duck eggs from 9 starts, but his 2 wins have been absolutely brilliant, including Thursday night. He looked like he was knocked out of a race down the back straight. He gave the leaders a very big start and overpowered them in the straight. He's a very talented dog, and let's just hope he can put it together more often. He's in the right hands, I know that.
And Good Odds Demon, just the 2 starts in the state, 100% strike rate so far.
Yeah, look, he's another dog who just looks like he's a 100% genuine dog, hard railer. He's come up with 5 in the final, Mumford Sons in 6, and they'll be the 2 favourites. They're awkwardly drawn. Look, it took him a lot of the 4.61 to wear down, sir, buddy. Ralph Townsend's got this dog going so well at the moment, but he's a very genuine dog, Good Odds Demon.
Have you got a fancy for us in the final at this stage?
Look, I'll stick with Mumford Son, but I reckon the box draw's given a couple of the roughies, like Hold On Coop and Alvin Benz, a little sneaky look.
And what about a greyhound for us to follow?
From Hobart on Thursday night. I've just lost it for a second.
Was it Kenzo Dynasty from last week?
Yes, Kenzo Dynasty was our dog to follow, wasn't it? For Jamie Devine, it led early, was taken on and headed by Kinloch's Fury, but it battled on really strongly in the straight, and she'll be winning soon.
Okay, so Kenzo Dynasty went around at odds of $41 last time out. Now you've made it the black book, or I'm tipping it won't be $41 next week after your great success with the tip of Kinloch's Fury, who went around at double figure odds and saluted for us last week. So good luck with that selection, Greg. We'll catch you again next week.
Thanks, Shane.
Live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival, Taz Racing Talk with Shane Yates.
Butch Deverell, a name synonymous with greyhound racing in Tasmania, has been good enough to join us on Taz Racing Talk. How are you, Butch?
Very good, Shane.
Well, last week, Greg Fay dropped you in it by saying you'd been in the game for 4.5 decades. How close was he?
Very close. I'm getting on in years now. I'm what they call a veteran.
A veteran. Well, you're still firing on all cylinders. What about your first winner? When did you first become interested in greyhound racing?
Well, we won our first race on my 21st birthday, which is a long time ago. We had a lot of fun that night. Me and the father. Very good. Dog called Inky Darrell.
Right. And what got you interested in the game?
I just went to the dogs a few times, and my dad was an axeman, and he went to King Island, and over there there was a chap named Butch Brown. He bred greyhounds like they breed sheep down the Midlands, and he said he got talking to him, and then he said, I'll send a couple over to you. So that's how we really got started.
And I believe you made a visit to King Island and couldn't believe what you saw.
I certainly did. I was a young fella, and I went over there for a weekend and stayed with this bloke, and it was like living in a shack up the lake, sonny. No fireplace and no nothing, and they had dogs in the yard there, like you have sheep, like I said, down the Midlands. I reckon there were 50 dogs in one yard, and you couldn't believe it.
And running wild, basically.
Very. It took us 4 hours to catch 4 dogs to go out and catch. He said, I'll pick my best ones out, and we'll go and see if we can catch a few kangaroos, and it took us 4 hours to catch 4 dogs, so you can imagine.
So you became heavily involved over the next 45 years or so, particularly with your father. Had some great moments together.
We certainly did, yeah. We worked together. We were bricklayers, father and son, and we got into greyhounds exactly the same way. And we were like brothers, really, and it was tremendous.
What about a couple of the star performers that you raced, particularly with your father in those early days, Butch?
Oh, the early days, you'd say Blue Stream and Miss Coronet. She was a champion star, Miss Coronet. She won in 3 states in Australia, and I travelled with her intensively, and it was great.
And the man that basically inspired you to get involved, Don Gale, champion sportsman in his own right.
He certainly was, yes. He would have made a dad's over the years playing football together and everything. And Don was heavily involved in greyhounds early on with Noel Butters and a few people like that. And we got involved with him, and he leased us a few pups and things like that, and away we went.
And, of course, Don, the father of Michael and Brendan Gale. Of course, Brendan, the CEO at Richmond now, so steeped very heavily in the game as far as the footy goes, and Don got you started there. Now, sadly, you lost your father in recent times, but he maintained that interest right up to the end?
He certainly did, yes. No, he loved the punt on him. He wasn't involved as much in the finish as the hands-on thing, but no, he followed him heavily, mum and dad, and he always loved to have a bit on him.
Now, you've had some real...
And he'd always say, you better get rid of that one, he's not much good.
And that's something that you've stuck to over the years, only race the good ones?
Yeah, we try to.
Now, you've had some real stars come through the kennel over the years. It's a long list. I know it's hard to go through them all, but what about an outright number one choice? Have you got a favourite of all those?
Oh, in recent times, I'd have to be Big Moose because, you know, to win 50 races and the races that he won and to make a Group 1 final in Melbourne and things like that, that was tremendous. But Jethro was exactly the same. To run third in a national distance in Hobart on our own soil was terrific.
And you've had great success in the Illingworth Classic. We've had Copper Delight score. Her son Eagle Eye did the job for you. Devil Seven was also a star performer from those days.
Yes, we won 3, I think, and I think I ran 4 seconds, and one of them was, I reckon, was by about 1/2 inch. So we've been around the mark, and it's a great race for young dogs if you prepare them and place them properly, and we love it.
And also success in your own cup, the Devonport Cup, with Devon George.
Yes, Devon George, Ackerboy and Big Moose. Not Ackerboy, but Big Moose won the Devonport, but Devon George when I was only a young fella won. And yeah, when we first got him from, Noel Butters brought him up from Hobart from people that I trained for, and he got him out of the trail and he said, look, I'm embarrassed to bring this dog out. He looks like a Labrador, and you can say by word he was fat. But he developed into a very good sprinter. He won 7 in a row, so he was pretty good.
You'd like him in the kennel now?
I'd love it.
Now, one greyhound that you do have there at the moment who's firing on all cylinders for you, that is Callaway Ernie. He's your latest gun performer.
Yes, yes, he's improved out of sight. He was a big gangly pup early, but now he's starting to put it together and he wins the right races, and he's a very hard chaser and a beautiful railer, so we hope he keeps going.
A super win in the Illingworth Classic last week?
Yeah, will to win, yep.
Well, he fought off the challenges near the post, and then he really powered away from them in the heat of the Country Derby. Had no luck in the final.
No luck yesterday, no. Probably drawn around too many really quick sprinters and got in a little bit of trouble, and like most of them did, you have to have luck in those races. So, you know, just put that down to another race.
And what about plans for him in coming months?
Oh, we look like we might travel to Melbourne with him, and if he's up to it, we'll have a go at the maturity over there, but we'll see. I'm a bit hesitant. He's very young, and he's inexperienced, and he just hasn't got that early acceleration, but we'll give it a go and see how we go.
Now, the boys that you train for, they're pretty excited about their star performer.
They certainly are. There's 16 boys that own this dog, and they own four others, or three others, and they're having a lot of fun. A lot of golfers from Ulverston, the Nagger Syndicate, and you don't know what you just definitely don't want to know what that means. So,
no, we will leave. It's a family show, Butch, so we'll press on. Anyway, congratulations on yet another marvellous feature win with Callaway Ernie in the Illingworth, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Three very interesting cards coming up for greyhound racing around the state during the week to tip us all the winners for the quaddy legs at all three meetings. Rick Puccinelli, how are you, Rick?
You're asking a lot, Shane. I'm well.
Not too much from a man like yourself. The Vets Medley Final is the feature of racing in Hobart. We've got the first leg of the quaddy. Sing the songs engaged. Do we need to say any more than that?
No, I think, Shane, it'll probably go round at prohibitive odds. My little concern is box two. As Greg alluded to a couple of weeks ago, she likes to use a bit of the track. She's got a desperate railer drawn outside of her in Rockville. Look, she's going to be short. You've got to put her on top. I can't come in at the short odds from box two, but she's clearly the dog to beat. Three, Rockville's second pick. He's going quite good. Number six I put in for third, Hello Benny. His last run behind Clubfoot was outstanding, and actually I thought on the line he actually won, but he got beat. I put him in for third, and I put in number eight, Lonesome Knight. Very well drawn in box eight. Got a good record from box eight. 2, 3, 6, and 8.
Vets Medley Series Final coming up. The second leg race, number 6, Good Odds Demon and Mumford Sun unbeaten through the series.
Yeah, Shane, and I think they'll quinella the event. Look, I'm a Mumford Sun fan. I just think he gives 110% every time he goes around. When he won here, he went 34-31 recently. That's very, very good time. And Good Odds Demon went 34-50. I think they'll quinella the event. 6 to beat 5. I think Miss Somebody's got some hope for Quinella's and Trifecta's hopes. She battles on quite good, and the 5.99's not a worry. And I put in number 8, Alan Benz. He always runs on. He runs a good, honest race. He'll be thereabouts. 6, 5, 2, and 8.
Where are we looking in the third leg, race number 7?
Shane, I can't find any depth in this race. I keep coming back to a dog called Bailey's Comment. I can't take short odds about him, but she looks the dog to beat. Box 7. She had no luck in the Oaks final in Devonport on Tuesday. 7 on top. I think the big improver's number 1, Blue Tam, got an inside draw, likes to be up near the leads, got a chance. Mega Nitro goes good on the Hobart circuit with a couple of placings in recent times. I put it in for third. And I put in Running Money. Now, this greyhound might be big odds and it's got some chance. I put it in for fourth. 7, 1, 3, and 5.
And in the final leg, Cosmic Fire's in good form.
Yeah, went very good last week, Shane, and look, I've got to put it on top. Went 26-16, and, you know, it went around at amazing odds of $9, and there was a very short price favourable and Despicable Ben. I didn't think there should have been that big a discrepancy in them. But anyway, 7 on top, Cosmic Fire. I put in Pipstar number 3, will derive benefit from its run last week and will run a cheeky race. 8, Dashing Dan's got a chance, and I put in number 1, Designer Rush. Thought its run last week was very good. 7, 3, 8, and 1.
Rick's quaddy for Hobart. First leg, 2, 3, 6, 8. Second leg, 6, 5, 2, and 8. Third leg, 7, 1, 3, 5. Last leg, 7, 3, 8, and 1. Best bet for Hobart.
Shane, if seeing's believing, and we've mentioned this on the show a few times, and it's probably very good form, seeing is believing. Race 9, number 7, Senor Slammer. I don't know if he's been to Hobart, but his Devonport win was awesome. He recorded 25-34. He ran unbelievable splits. He looks a very promising dog, and Gary Johnson's a very good trainer. Race 9, number 7, Senor Slammer.
Launceston Monday night, the first leg of the Quadiers race, number 5. The major chances look to be drawn the inside.
Yeah, I've come up with 1 and 2, Shane. I thought Despicable Matt had a very good chance from the draw. It's going very, very good and wants the fence and it's found it, so it's going to be very hard to beat. 2, Wee Fire for second. She's got very, very good high speed. She'll probably be the leader and she'll run a cheeky race. 4, Buckle Up Barney. He'll appreciate not chasing home the likes of some good dogs at Devonport recently. I put him in for 3rd, Buckle Up Barney. And I put in number 7, Moonlight Bell. Just 1 bats all the time, just a real good, honest little grinder, but got a chance. 1, 2, 4, 7.
Premier Stakes is the second leg race, number 6. Hell Yeah Missile comes up with a red box.
Yeah, Shane, and I've gone with Hell Yeah Missile too. I just think from an inside draw, it'll be very, very hard to beat. It loves the fence. It's winning Hobart an invitation. It's been very good because that was then made the form look very good. I think it's clearly on top pick. 3, Clubfoot, absolutely flying at the moment. And I do notice there's been a change of kennels. It's now with Brendan Purcell. And listen, it will not go backwards with Brendan training it. So I put it in for 2nd. 5, Dominator Girl. If she happened to ping to the lead, she'd be very hard to beat. And Stylish Abbey was a very, very impressive winner last week in 29.84. 1, 3, 5, and 8.
In the 3rd leg, Oscar Alf and Winburn Wizard engaged.
Yeah, Shane, this is a good leg. I went with the box drawer. I went with number 1, Blue McCool. His form of late has been outstanding, and he's been racing very, very well, and his run behind Fritzen was very, very good last week. And from box 1, I just got a sneaking suspicion he might hold the lead, and if that's the case, he might take a bit of running down. I put in Oscar Ralph in for 2nd, number 4. Thought it had a chance. I thought Hard as Nail was another one of the likely leaders, and the battle's on very good at the Launceston track. And I put Winburn Wizard in for 4th. 1, 4, 6, and 3.
In the final leg, we've got the Breeders' Classic winner from Launceston and also the Devonport Country Oaks winner, Winburn Rushing Gates.
Yeah, Shane, I'm actually going with Senior Slammer, number 7. I'm just tipping that he'll win on Thursday night, and that form will be very frank. I've put him on top, Senior Slammer, to beat 1, Winburn Rush. Now, she's come up with an ideal draw. She's very, very strong. I think it'll be a good contest. 2, Alana, I put in for 3rd. Can be a little bit hit and miss at the start, but it's come up with the fence, drawn near the fence, and she will appreciate that. And I put in number 5, Trudels. Now, she jumped straight to the front last week and recorded 30.15. I know she's going up from a maiden to a grade 5, but geez, she was impressive last week and recorded 30.15, and maiden companies just don't normally run that. 7, 1, 2 and 5.
Rich Quaddy for Launceston on Monday. First leg, 1, 2, 4, 7. Second leg, 1, 3, 5, 8. Third leg, 1, 4, 6 and 3. And in the last leg, 7, 1, 2 and 5. So number 1 very prominent through the legs there. What about a best bet for Launceston?
Yeah, I'll come up with a red box again, Shane. I went race 9, number 1, Aroma Pache. Look, it's a 278 metre race, and I'm the first to admit that I'm not a great fan of them. But box 1, good trainer, good speed, good, honest little dog. To think his last start, he ran 7th behind Callaway Ernie. I think he'd be very hard to beat. Race 9, number 1, Aroma Pache.
A few boxes ticked there. Devonport on Tuesday. The grade 5 is the first leg. We've got a star performer engaged here.
Yeah, be short chain, Mystic Falls, and it looks clearly the greyhound to beat. 4 on top. I put in 1, Buckle Up Nico for 2nd. Got a very good draw. 6, Callaway Knockers, the KO dog. Desperately wants a wide draw and has come up with box 6. And 2, Crash Dooley. Now, this greyhound probably might be the likely leader and might run a bold race in front. 4, 1, 6, and 2.
In the second leg, Dashing Dan, another red runner.
Yeah, Shane, I think Dashing Dan's got a very good chance. It wants the fence, good beginner. Don't know if it's been to Devonport, but it's got a very good chance. 5, Pipstar for 2nd. Callaway Krusty, number 7 for 3rd. And I put in number 8, Hell Yeah Tangles, a good all-the-way winner last week at Devonport. 1, 5, 7, and 8.
Third leg, the grade 5. We've got Spring Fall, been pretty consistent.
Yeah, Shane, it's clearly the greyhound to beat. This doesn't look an overly strong event. I think it's clearly on top. Ted Meadows hasn't had many runners over the last 3 or 4 weeks, so it's interesting to note if there's been a problem with the kennel or anything, but I think Spring Fall will bounce back and record a good win. I think Black Corvette, number 1, is the main danger. Just forget it went round last Tuesday at Devonport. Got KO'd over the back and was tailed off. And actually, in the last 50 metres, it made up good ground. And even though it ran last, I wouldn't be disillusioned with that form beside its name. I put in number 8 for 3rd, Blake Hyelia. She's got very good speed. She might be the leader. She might run a cheeky race. and 5, Mr. Snowflake. He's ever consistent. He's always thereabouts. 3, 1, 8, and 5.
And in the last leg, we've got the bookends, Quick Advance and Teddy Tomboy looking hard to beat.
Yeah, Shane, I just went with the draw with Quick Advance. There's a couple of drawn dogs inside him that want to go to the fence. So for that reason, I've gone with Quick Advance, number 8. 1, Teddy Tomboy will be very, very hard to beat from a red box. The KO dogs, number 2, Fine Eagle. He's a slow beginner, desperate railer, and he's resuming from a little bit of a break. He hasn't raced for 3 weeks. He'll have a chance. And I thought number 6, that was then, battled on very well at Devonport last Tuesday. Thought it was 4th pick. 8, 1, 2 and 6.
Rick's Quadrilla for Devonport on Tuesday after we've collected Hobart and Launceston Quaddies. In the first leg, 4, 1, 6, 2. And in the second leg, I didn't write them down, Rick. I've just written down number 1.
1, 5, 7 and 8.
1, 5, 7 and 8. In the third leg, 3, 1, 8, 5. In the last leg, 8, 1, 2 and 6. All we need now is your best bet for Devonport.
Yeah, we have to wait till late, Shane. This greyhound's resuming from a little bit of a break, high caution. He's got high speed. He's a nice dog. He's trained by the master, Ted Medhurst. He wouldn't put him back in if he wasn't ready. Race 10, number 8, High Caution.
High Caution, the best for Devonport. Thanks for your time again today, Rick.
Thanks, Shane.
OK, time for our TAS Racing Talk quiz now. Today's question, which greyhound did Butch Deverell prepare to win a Devonport Cup? Which greyhound did Butch Deverell, our guest on today's show, prepare to win a Devonport Cup? Just go to tasracing.com.au, click on the TAS Racing Talk icon, register, and the person with the most correct answers over the next 3 months will win the ultimate punter's experience. The prize includes airfares, accommodation, car hire, club dining at Thoroughbred Harness and greyhound meetings through the week, plus expert tips from your trip host. That's all thanks to our accommodation partners, Rest Point and Country Club Tasmania. So don't miss out on that great opportunity. Just go to www.tasracing.com.au and answer today's question. Which greyhound did Butch Deverell prepare to win a Devonport Cup? Thanks for your company again today on TAS Racing Talk. Look forward to it again next week.
TAS Racing Talk, live at 5 every Wednesday on Carnival. On digital radio across Melbourne, streaming on your computer, tablet and smartphone. And later on podcast at rsn.net.au and tasracing.com.au.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.